It's Ron Crabtree here, and welcome to yet another edition of my audio easing series of Operational Excellence Edge. And the topic here is going to be around change management street smarts. Have you ever wondered why it seems like taking change or making change, I should say, happen in an organization really stick is seems to be one of the hardest things we ever do? But one of the secrets to success in making any major operational excellence type initiative get results and to truly be sticky for the long run is really wrapped around this one of my favorite questions for live audiences, which goes something like this. Which is harder, A, learning the tools of process improvement, or B, getting people to actually do it? Well, universally, folks always say it's going to be B, right? So in this e-zine, you're really in for a treat as one of the co-authors for the new book, Driving Operational Excellence, that is being published basically as we're recording this call, is Mr. Jeff Cole. And he's going to provide some pretty interesting input for you here, some really neat tips and tricks and ideas I think you'll find incredibly helpful. Before I introduce Jeff, though, I have to tell you that in his chapter, Change Management Street Smarts, he covers some incredibly important gems of wisdom that I've also been telling people for years. For example, which do you prefer of these two statements? Having something done to you or having something done with you? And there's a subtle difference between the two, and generally, people want us to do stuff with them, and that's a critical element in change management, which Jeff certainly subscribes to and we'll hear more about pretty quick. There's some other very valuable insights that Jeff provides. For example, he notes in his chapter there's hundreds of books out there on how to use the tools of operational excellence and Six Sigma and Lean and things like that, but very few with a good step-by-step process for managing change in the context of an operational excellence initiative. Now, I completely agree with Jeff. In fact, I would argue, like Jeff, that 80% or more of success in any major process improvement initiative probably revolves around the people part, the change management part, not just learning the tools within operational excellence. So with that, with no further ado, Jeff, I'm glad you could join us.
Thanks, Ron. I'm glad to be here, and I'd also like to thank your subscribers for taking the time to listen.
Fantastic. So, Jeff, we're anxious to hear more about your background.
Sure. Ron, you know how your listeners may feel pain in their companies because of processes that are too slow, maybe they have low quality output, things are inefficient, or maybe they're just trying to do more with what limited resources they have. I help them eliminate that pain. I have a consulting practice based in Dayton, Ohio, of all places, specializing in improvement strategies like Lean, Six Sigma, and organizational change. Personally, I'm a Lean Six Sigma Master Black Belt, hold several ASQ and industry certifications, and I've had the pleasure of helping clients across a variety of industries, having trained and coached around 4,000 people at this point. I'm a former quality executive from a Fortune 500 company. I've got over 25 years' experience. I served two terms as a National Malcolm Baldrige Examiner, and I'm proud to be a co-author, along with you, of the new book, Driving Operational Excellence.
Wow, fantastic. You know, until just this moment, I didn't recognize that you had been involved with Malcolm Baldrige Awards. That's quite an achievement and provides some interesting insights I'm sure you've woven into what you did in the chapter. So with that, you know, this chapter around driving operational excellence and this whole change management street smarts, what was it that led you to write that chapter, and why change management and why street smarts?
Good question. About 20 years ago, I was a quality manager in a large global firm. We found ourselves very adept at finding problems and fixing our processes, but we were also very frustrated because we weren't getting the results we should. One day, I got out of bed, went into work, and kind of stumbled across this profound life lesson that allowed me to be extremely successful ever since. And kind of here's the secret for your listeners. It doesn't matter which method you use. I don't care whether you're following Lean, Six Sigma, Red X, Deming, Duran, Crosby, or the Ron Crabtree method. You and I can have the best technical process in the world, but if the people who have to use it don't do so, we've lost our investment. And unfortunately, there's no button in Excel or option in Minitab you get to click on to make somebody follow your new process. So that was a magical day. I discovered this thing called change management. It's a body of knowledge as broad and deep as Six Sigma. And it basically addresses how do you get a group of people who don't report to you to change their behavior. Basically, stop doing things the old way and start doing them the new way. And I've got to tell you, Ron, once I discovered this, it was a whole new world. So that's the change management piece. I'm passionate about it. I feel it's very critical. Then there's the street smart piece. And each of your listeners, Ron, would tell you that in their gut, they know that there's a difference between textbook and reality. In fact, people tune into your talks because they want real results. Heck, if you want theory, there's many ivy-covered buildings full of guys in tweed jackets, smoking pipes, who will talk theory until your ears bleed. I think your listeners want results. And what may look good on paper often varies in actual combat conditions, you know, especially in these economic times where plan A didn't work and we burned through backup plans B and C. I passionately believe that only those folks who are willing to take a nimble and street-smart approach have any chance of improving in the future, let alone surviving. So that's kind of how I got to writing the change management street smart.
Wow, that's fabulous. You know, one of the things I picked up on, I can't remember where I picked it up, you probably agree with this, is the old term, no plan survives contact with the enemy.
Right.
So, you know, in your chapter, you really kind of cranked out some pretty interesting stuff around these 9 smart tips, if you will, for driving process change. So what are some of the things that our listeners, now mind you, I've spoiled them, they want to know what they can do now. So what are some things that they can do right now based on just listening to this to immediately help them be more effective both in small and large-scale change management efforts?
Absolutely. You're right. It's all about execution. I would say the number one thing is for your listeners to recognize the need. You probably recall the old joke about the factory of the future is staffed with one dog and one man. And the dog's job is to make sure that the man doesn't touch any switches, and the man's job is to feed the dog. Unfortunately, it's not there. If any of your listeners are interacting in any way with other human beings, this becomes a very critical thing to know. In fact, one irrevocable truth, every listener out there has probably been impacted in some way by changes over the past couple of years. And there's two sides to this coin. Either you're a recipient of a change, where changes happen to you, and what we have there is tools for you to adapt to change very quickly and become productive again, or you're a driver of change. And for those folks out there that are driving change, you have to understand that whether it's a good change or bad change, when you invoke a change, productivity drops, and productivity stays down at a lower level until the dust settles on this change. People have adapted to the change, they've absorbed it, and then productivity rises to a higher level. That is an amazing hidden cost inside a lot of organizations. So I just want them to know that you can consciously create a nimble, adaptable, resilient organization, but you have to recognize the need for this. We have tools that help you, number one, make sure the productivity drop is not as great, and number two, that you're not down in that trough with low productivity as long, so that you bounce back quicker. So step one is recognize the need. Step two, select a method. If the listeners out there are familiar with operational excellence, you've likely heard of Six Sigma. And I read an interesting fact a couple years ago. Did you know that there are over 400 books in print on Six Sigma? So I invite everybody listening to this to go out and do an experiment. Go to your local library, pull a half dozen books off the shelf regarding Six Sigma, and look at them. I've made it my business to go out and track down most of these books and look at them. So I can tell you from experience, you will find 80 to 90% overlap that all the authors are saying pretty much the same thing. If you do Six Sigma, the methodology is DMAIC, define, measure, analyze, improve, and control. So it is nice to have this structured, well-proven methodology that everyone can follow. Change management is not like that. If you go pull six change management books off the shelf and flip through them, you're going to find it's like looking at diet books. Everybody tells you to do something different. So back in 2007, there was a company named ProSci that did a best practices report, and they had a very interesting finding. They found a positive correlation between having an effective change management program in place and that organization's ability to meet project objectives and stay on schedule. But check this out. They had 436 participants in this survey of theirs. They cited over 70 different change management methods.
Wow.
So what we do in our practice is we go in and we study the corporate culture of the organization. We align them with the right process improvement methodology for excellence, but then we weave into that seamlessly the appropriate change management methodologies. So what I invite the listeners to do right now, and you can do it immediately and you can do it for free, go out and look at several books on change management. Just know that the first book you pick up, you may like it, but it may not be the best methodology for you. Despite what any author says, the evidence shows there is no one standard practice for change management, no one best method. But I would rather have you go out, look at a couple books, pick your favorite, do one. It's better to do something than to do nothing short term. Another one that I want to cover, and I know we don't have a lot of time, and I'm not going to cover all 9 points here, but culture eats process for lunch.
Wow. Ain't that
and Ron, like you, I've been through a lot of training in my day. I could fill a backyard swimming pool with all the binders I've received. And I've got to tell you, for every swimming pool full of technical binders talking about really cool stuff like p-values, residuals, CPK, and MSA, I've probably received a shoebox full of information on how to operate effectively in differing corporate cultures. So think of culture as the shared beliefs, behaviors, and assumptions of an organization. It is like a very powerful freight train barreling right through the middle of your organization. It is a powerful, invisible force in the company. If you launch your process improvement in the same direction as the culture, it will accelerate your implementation and everything will be great. If you launch a process improvement in the opposite direction, you will experience what I call cultural blowback, where a well-intentioned process change blows back in your face at 200 miles an hour, and you find yourself scraping change off the walls and ceiling for weeks. So the way to address that we cover in the book in more detail is you have to understand the attributes of your current culture, then sit down and determine what the culture would look like that would accept this new process of yours. If there's a great deal of overlap between the two, you're in good shape. If there's not, well, there's an old saying, change the culture, change the change, or prepare for failure. So we give you some pointers on how to do that. Primarily, you can think about changing the content or the timing or the location of pilots, things like that that are good tactical tips to try to succumb, you kind of align with your culture, if you will. So that's cultural blowback. Also in the book, I give examples about cultural landmines. Which are not freight trains, they're little idiosyncrasies that different organizational cultures will have, and if you don't understand those, you can step on that and it will set your process initiative way back. So those are just a few points I just wanted to share with your listeners today, Ron, and again, a lot more in the book, and there's a lot more for them to cover, learn more about it outside of this easing of yours.
All right, fabulous. Well, you know, there was a lot of information there in a really big hurry, and if we listened carefully, we got several very good ideas, and, you know, I really like one of your analogies that you didn't have time for around, you know, changes. You know, people are like a sponge when it comes to change. There's only so much they can stand at one time, and once they're wet, they really can't take much more, and that was a wonderful analogy that that I also think folks could benefit from thinking about. So, can you sum everything up for us, Jeff, with just, you know, a couple of good takeaways that you'd like folks to get out of this short discussion?
Sure. I think, number one, recognize that every one of us in any organization is going to rely on our change management skills to survive or thrive going forward. And number two, recognize that this is a read more about it type topic. You know, there's a saying out there, you don't know what you don't know. And there is a lot to learn about this particular topic. There are many books. Our book gives you a great start. But to help your listeners, anyone who gets the book is going to receive a special link back to my website where they will be able to download a complimentary 30-page workbook that gives them all of the tools and templates they need to get off to an immediate and sound beginning to their change management efforts in a street smart fashion.
Fantastic. I really appreciate the fact that you're willing to offer something to help people immediately begin to learn more and assimilate, and you know, and I really like the fact you're willing to give that advice about, you know, don't take Jeff's word for it. Go study for yourself, which is very good advice. And so I really appreciate that. So, you know, I learned a lot here in a very short time, and I know everybody else did too, so I want to really thank you for that. Would you please share your contact information so if people want to get in touch with you, they'd know how to reach you?
Yeah, thanks, Ron. I would love to hear from your listeners with any success stories they have or any questions they have. I'm happy to personally address those. My email is jeff@jcolegroup.com. It's jcolegroup.com. Or they can find me on my website at www.jcolegroup.com as well.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. So let's just wrap that up. It's Ron Crabtree here again, and you know, I want to thank you for your precious time and energy to listen in on this Easing series, and looking forward to, we have several more interviews coming up with some of the other authors in the book and other topical things around operational excellence, what it takes to win in business. So I want to thank you for your participation here. Look forward to talking with you again soon. So thank you again, and I wish you and your team fabulous success.